pijn en verdriet, ai boy, te money no de. En uw dierbare overlijdt of is terminaal ziek in het buitenland, who cares? CytoCare always cares. Daarom biedt CytoCare u de mogelijkheid voor deelname aan een garantieplan, zodat u altijd klaar kan staan voor een spoedreis naar het buitenland, waar ook ter wereld. Vanaf €30 per maand hebt u al een garantieplan voor een spoedticket naar het buitenland. En let wel, uw garantieplan heeft een wachttijd en familie is altijd belangrijk. Laat u dus niet verrassen door morgen. Stap vandaag nog in bij CytoCare. En they will always help you to be there for a last year. CytoCare, al langer dan 26 jaar effectief. 100% betrouwbaar, staat geregistreerd en heeft een AFM-vergunning. CytoCare heeft meer, dus check ze op www.cytocare.com of bel 02-99-414-530. CytoCare, always cares for you and yours.
Afscheid nemen zoals je was. Dat doe je bij de Dageraad Uitvaartverzorging. Ons hele leven zijn we bezig om onszelf uit te drukken. Een afscheid zou daarom een ultiem portret van iemands leven moeten zijn. Door goede samenwerkingen kunnen wij u vanaf het moment van overlijden tot aan de dag van de uitvaart volledig bijstaan. Een uitvaart kost nou eenmaal geld. Wees goed voorbereid en laat uw nabestaanden niet achter met kosten. Bel bij overlijden 06-814-85-213. Bezoek ook onze website www.dageraad-uitvaartverzorging.nl. Ik hoop dat als het moment daar is, uw naaste afscheid van u nemen zoals u was en zoals u in het leven stond. En daar draag ik, Rashida Alberts, met liefde een steentje aan bij.
Laat ons bidden voor betere tijden. En laat ons energie sturen naar de ellende die wij afkeuren. Omdat wij, die die goede energie hebben, moeten doorbreken wat de Satan wil in deze wereld.
come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful. Thank you.
like the birds and the bees, but we'd rather die on our feet and keep living on our knees.
Sidney Poitier, the trailblazing star who was the first black man to win an Academy Award for Best Actor, has died. He was 94. His death was confirmed Friday by the press secretary for the Bahamas Deputy Prime Minister. He received his first Oscar nomination for his role in 1958's The Defiant Ones, and won the Best Actor Oscar for his performance in 1963's Lilies of the Field.
It is a long journey to this moment. I am naturally indebted to countless numbers of people.
Poitier was born in Miami on February 20th, 1927. His parents traveled back and forth from the Bahamas to Miami, where they sold tomatoes from their small farm. He went on to become the first actor to star in mainstream Hollywood movies that depicted a black man in a non-stereotypical fashion, and his influence, especially during the 50s and 60s as a role model and image maker, was immeasurable. Since his big screen debut as an extra in 1947, Poitier appeared in more than 40 films. His early roles include 1950's No Way Out, 1952's Cry the Beloved Country, 1955's Blackboard Jungle, 1957's Edge of the City, 1957's Something of Value, and 1961's A Raisin in the Sun. He was the first black actor to become the nation's top box office draw, attaining that distinction in 1967 when he starred in three memorable films, To Sir With Love, In the Heat of the Night, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. All were benchmark performances. With his status as a power player, Poitier helped launch the independent production company First Artists, and returned as his Heat of the Night character in 1969's They Call Me Mr. Tibbs and 1971's The Organization. He also broadened his talents to include writing and directing. He directed and starred in such films as 1972's Buck and the Preacher, 1973's A Warm December, 1974's Uptown Saturday Night, 1975's Let's Do It Again, and 1977's A Piece of the Action. He also directed 1980's Stir Crazy, 1982's Hanky Panky, 1985's Fast Forward, and 1990's Ghost Dad. He wrote a 1980 autobiography, This Life, documenting his journey from the tomato fields of the Bahamas to the pinnacle of Hollywood success. After 10 years behind the camera, Poitier reemerged as an actor in 1988's Little Nikita, and 1988's Shoot to Kill. He later co-starred in 1992's Sneakers and 1997's The Jackal. On television, he played Nelson Mandela in a 1997 Showtime telefilm. Also in 1997, he was appointed ambassador of the Bahamas to Japan. And in 2002, he received an honorary Oscar from the Academy for, quote, his extraordinary performances and unique presence on the screen, and for representing the motion picture industry with dignity, style, and intelligence throughout the world. He shared his thoughts on the beginning of his career during his speech.
Back then, no route had been established for where I was hoping to go. No pathway left in evidence for me to trace.
He went on to thank the, quote, visionary American filmmakers, directors, writers, and producers that helped shape his career. For much more on the life and career of Sidney Poitier, go to THR.com. For The Hollywood Reporter News, I'm Tiffany Taylor.
Sidney Poitier was raised in the Bahamas. He was poor. He had very little education. At the age of 15, he made his way to New York City to try to make a new life for himself. In this, which is his first network television interview in 12 years, Sidney Poitier told me about his experiences in the big city.
I arrived in New York, I had $3. Okay, I had no friends, no family, no relations, no addresses. I knew no one. I got off at the bus station of 50th Street and 8th Avenue. I'm walking up and down Broadway. I am absolutely, I am transfixed by the lights and the traffic and the people. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. So I walked up and down Broadway from 42nd Street to 50th Street, back to 42nd, back to 50th, just marching up and down. In the meantime, I'm buying hot dogs and malted milks. In no time, I'm busted.
15 years old, surviving on your own in the street in New York. How did you survive?
Okay, in the window there's a sign that says, relief dishwasher wanted. And I went down there and they put me to work. Not only did they put me to work, they were paying $4 a night, and I could eat for 3 meals. So, when I finished the first night's work, I went to the bus station, got my little valise out, intending not to spend my $4 as I spent my $3. I went to sleep in the toilet. Used to be pay toilets in the, and it cost a nickel. So I put a nickel in the thing, and I got in, I put down the seat, I sat there, put my feet up against the door, and I would sleep uncomfortably, needless to say.
Okay. Negro Theater Company.
Oh.
First job. How'd you get it? What'd you say? What'd you do? How'd you audition?
The black newspaper in Harlem. I would always go there when I needed to find a job as a dishwasher. I'm looking in the paper on such a day, and the opposite page was the theatrical page. And there was a streamer over an article that said, actors wanted. There was a small theater, and the theater group was called the American Negro Theater Group. I went in, and a gentleman, a wonderful man, said to me, I didn't think he was so wonderful then, said to me, what can I do for you? I said, I came as a response of that thing about actors. He said, oh, he said, you're an actor? I said, yes, of course I am. He said, okay. He said, here. He gave me a script, first time I had seen such a thing. And I started to read like this. So I want you to, that's about as far as I got. And he flashed into anger because it was really quite disrespectful now in retrospect. He came up on the stage and he snatched the book and he says, come on, get out of here. And he took me to the door. And as he tossed me out, he said something that changed my whole life. He said, stop wasting people's time. Why don't you go out and get yourself a job as a dishwasher or something? And as I walked to the corner of 7th Avenue and 135th Street, I wondered, how could he have known that dishwashing is what I did? And if, in fact, I am now to be forever pigeonholed as a dishwasher? By the time I reached the corner, I had resolved that I would, in order to fashion an escape hatch for myself, I would become an actor only to prove to him that I was not just destined to be a dishwasher.
Please appreciate that soul music has its roots in blues, in country, and most certainly in gospel music. The next artist had soul hits, but he never strayed too far from his gospel roots. Here to stir it up for us tonight, from the Stax label, is the phenomenal Rance Allen. Let's hear him.
Mm-hmm. heaven. Heaven. Hey. I've never been to Paris. In the spring or the fall. I never been to India, no. Yeah, see the Taj Mahal alone. I never been to Switzerland, no. Yeah, see the Winter Games playing. I never been to New Orleans, oh. Carnival of Mardi Gras Day, yeah. Never been to London. On a foggy day, I've never been to hear gondola play. All I want to do is make it to heaven. That's all I want. That's all I want. I declare that will be good enough for me. Because heaven is a place where I want to be. Hey, band. In the spring or the fall. Never been to India. See the Taj Mahal alone. Never been to Switzerland, no. See the Winter Games play. I declare that will be good enough for me. Because of heaven, heaven is a place where I want to be. Talking about heaven, where the streets are made of gold. A saint can soothe his own weary soul. Heaven, I'm gonna sit down in the crystal seat one day. Good enough.
Sidney Poitier was so much more than a film legend. He is revered, not just because of what he did on screen, but also because of his tremendous impact off screen as a champion of civil rights.
We believe in the essential dignity of every human being.
The son of a Bahamian tomato farmer, Poitier lived a life of first, the first black man to win an Oscar for Best Actor, and one of the first black people to become a true Hollywood star among the greatest of all time.
We have lots and lots and lots of African-American actors. Now, when we didn't have any, I appeared. Not because I brought so much, but because the time was right.
But his career almost ended before it ever began. As a teenager, Poitier auditioned for the American Negro Theater, but he was quickly thrown out because he couldn't read. He was tone deaf, and he had a thick Bahamian accent.
He says, you're no actor. We got next to the door, he opened it, pushed me out, and slammed it.
A determined Poitier would spend months perfecting his acting skills and modifying his speaking voice. His hard work would pay off in a big way.
I was right. I know I was right.
In the 1950s, he appeared in more than a dozen films, beginning with No Way Out, and including an Oscar-nominated performance in The Defiant Ones. However, it was his portrayal of a former GI in the 1963 movie Lilies of the Field that broke Hollywood's color barrier, earning him the coveted Oscar for Best Actor.
Amen.
Poitier never overcame his tone deafness, lip-syncing the song Amen in the famous Lily scene. The songwriter, Jester Hairston, actually did the singing. Poitier was considered a bankable star in 1967, starring in the landmark film To Sir With Love.
Those kids are devils incarnate, huh? I've tried everything.
Playing characters that would force audiences to confront racial prejudices.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
But he would also challenge the Hollywood establishment, forcing a change in his iconic role as Detective Virgil Tibbs in the 1967 Academy Award-winning In the Heat of the Night because of a scene that would require him to acquiesce to a racist character.
I'm going to take you over to Brownsville and put you on the bus myself.
You aren't taking me anywhere, you dig? You're holding the wrong man.
That same year, he would star in the watershed film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, alongside Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn.
Mom, this is John.
The film not only depicted a successful interracial relationship, it also foreshadowed future progress in America.
Have you given any thought to the problems your children are going to have?
Yes, and they'll have some. And we'll have the children. Otherwise, I don't know what you'd call it, but you couldn't call it a marriage.
Is that the way Joey feels?
She feels that every single one of our children will be president of the United States, and they'll all have colorful administrations.
It's only fitting that in 2009, Sidney Poitier would be presented with the Medal of Freedom by President Barack Obama.
Poitier once called his driving purpose to make himself a better person. He did, and he made us all a little bit better along the way.
Very sad indeed. Hollywood, all of us, the world is mourning a true trailblazer. Sidney Poitier was 94 years old. Our deepest, deepest condolences to his family and to his friends. May he rest in peace. And may his memory be a blessing.
You know, for a man who all his life never put a wrong foot anywhere, you're way out of line, boy.
That's me to decide, man. So just shut up and let me...
You don't say that to me. You haven't got the right to ever say a thing like that to me, not after what I've been to you. And you know that, and I know that. Yeah, I know what you are and what you made of yourself. But you know I worked my ass off to get the money to buy you all the chances you had. You know how far I carried that bag in 30 years? 75,000 miles. And mowing lawns in the dark. So you wouldn't have to be stoking furnaces and could bear it out on the books. I tell you, there were things your mother should have had that she insisted go instead for you. And I don't mean fancy things. I mean a decent coat. A lousy coat. And you're gonna tell me now that means nothing to you and you could break your mother's heart? Well, I don't care what your mother says. Maybe she's gone haywire, too. This is between you and me.
That's the first thing you said that makes any sense, because that's exactly where it's at.
Yeah, and what I mean to
no,
say is...
No, you said what you had to say. You listen to me. You say you don't want to tell me how to live my life. So what do you think you've been doing? You tell me what rights I've got or haven't got and what I owe to you for what you've done for me? Let me tell you something. I owe you nothing. If you carried that bag 1,000,000 miles, you did what you were supposed to do. Because you brought me into this world. And from that day, you owed me everything you could ever do for me, like I will owe my son if I ever have another. But you don't own me. You can't tell me when or where I'm out of line, or try to get me to live my life according to your rules. You don't even know what I am, Dad. You don't know who I am. You don't know how I feel, what I think. And if I try to explain it the rest of your life, you will never understand. You are 30 years older than I am. You and your whole lousy generation believes the way it was for you is the way it's got to be. And not until your whole generation has lain down and died will the dead weight of you be off our backs. You understand? You've got to get off my back. Dad, you're my father. I'm your son. I love you. I always have, and I always will.
I build a chapel.
I build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
Oh, we build a chapel.
We build a chapel.
He built the chapel.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Sing it over. Amen. 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 See the baby wrapped in the manger on Christmas morning. See him in the temple talking with the elders who marvel at his wisdom. Down at the Jordan, where John was baptizing and saving all sinners. See him at the seaside talking with the fishermen and making them disciples. Marching to Jerusalem over palm branches in pomp and splendor. See him in the garden praying to his father in deepest sorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Led before Pilate, then they crucified him, but he rose on Easter.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He died to save us, and he lives forever.
Amen. Amen. the horns now. Amen. With the rhythm now, hey, amen. Hey, amen. Hey, amen. 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 Everybody now. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. To show my love. One thing my pappy used to say, he said that even in my home song, I said, what, Dad? I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah. Said, even in your home song, you got to let your little light shine. Yeah, even in your home song. And then I say, Daddy, help me sing this line one time. Hey, amen. He helped me. Hey, amen. Huh, with a feeling. Hey, hey, amen. 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 Everybody together now. Hey, amen. The louder now. Hey, hey. Everybody say, hey, amen, amen, amen. Amen.
He won the Academy Award for his performance in Glory, Denzel Washington.
Thank you. Sidney Poitier. I met Sidney for the first time in 1977. He probably doesn't remember. I was just graduated from college, came to Los Angeles for the first time. I was walking down Wilshire Boulevard and I looked into a bookstore and there he was, Sidney Poitier. Literally the man of my dreams, the only time I've said that. He was, he meant everything to me. I mean, he was a positive example of elegance and good taste. He was a source of pride for millions of African Americans. He was a great movie star that was appreciated by millions of people all around the world. So I took a deep breath, I walked through the door, and for the next 10 minutes I snuck around, hiding behind books and magazines, acting like I was gonna buy something. I didn't have any money, but finally I snuck up close enough to him where I was breathing on him. And he turned around and he said, you're breathing on me. No, he turned around and turned around and said, how are you? I said, I'm Denzel Washington. You don't know me. I haven't done anything. But he was very kind to me, and I felt at that point we were friends. So I did what any friend would do, any actor would do. I took out my picture and resume, started begging for a job. But he was very patient with me. He was very kind to me. And he didn't give me a job. fact, Sidney, you've never given me a job. I wanted to talk to you about that. But he did something that was much more important. He gave me his time, his advice. And I can honestly say that the reason I'm up here today is because of Sidney Poitier, because of the time he gave me, the advice he gave me, the example he provided for me and many other African-American actors. I love you, I respect you, I imitate you. God bless you.
As fate would have it, given today's economic conditions, the old lady got to the point where she couldn't pay her rent. She got behind in the rent. And the rent man came. The rent man went up on the porch and the old raggedy screen door was there. He could barely see through the screen door for all of the dust in the film. He just knocked on the door. And he didn't hear no response. And he hollered out, "Old lady, old lady, are you in there?" The old lady was back in the kitchen and she could barely get around, but she said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here." He said, "Come on up to the front, old lady. I want to talk to you." And she made her way slowly to the front door. She unlatched the screen and he just pulled the door and walked on in. He said, "Old lady, I guess you know what I'm here for. But you know that you're 3 months behind in your rent. And I come to pick up the money today. So give me the money." And she said, "Sir, I don't have it. If I had it, I would have paid it month before last. But sir, I don't have it." He said, "Well, old lady, you got my hands tied. Call your son or call your husband or get your daughter over here and get me some money. And old lady, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 3 days to get me my rent money. And if you don't have my money in 3 days, old lady, I'm going to have to put you out." And the old lady looked at him straight in the face and said, "Yes, sir." 3 days passed. And the old lady thought to herself and said, "The Lord took my husband last year. We was never able to have any children. And the only thing I got is Jesus. All I got in this world is Jesus." She said, "Lord, I ain't got nowhere to go. But I guess if he come back tomorrow, I'm going to have to get up." So the rent man came back. And again, he knocked on the the screen door. And he couldn't see the old lady. He said, "Old lady, I know you in there. Come on to the door." She made her way to the door. He said, "Old lady, do you have the money?" She looked at him and said, "No, sir." He said, "Old lady, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to put you out." She looked up at him and said, "Yes, sir." And she slowly went into her bedroom and looked in the closet and got her old coat, her overcoat. And she threw it over her shoulders and went to the corner of the bedroom and picked up a cane. And the rent man was still standing at the door, and she walked to the door and just didn't say pardon, and just moved around him and walked out the door. But as she made it down step number one, and she made it down step number two, and she got down to the sidewalk, and she looked back on that house, and she thought about the years. She thought about the years. And I can imagine that old lady, as she looked back, she said, "It'll all
be over.
It's gonna all be over.
After one.
It'll all be over after a while. That's all right. I ain't got nowhere to go now.
It'll all
be over. You've been put out. She said, "That's all right. That's all right."
Yes, sir.
But she said, "There'll be no more disappointments after a while."
Oh, man. After what? Say thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for parents. Thank you for love. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for humility. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Say thank you in advance for what's already yours. That's how I live my life. That's why I am, one of the reasons why I am today. Say thank you in advance for what is already yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for every moment that led to this day. Thank you for the hard times. They made me appreciate the good times. Thank you for the lessons. They were needed for my development. Thank you for my eyes that get to witness the miracles of today and tomorrow. Thank you for everything I take for granted. Thank you for all of my blessings. Thank you for my drive. Thank you for my spirit. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for giving me the courage to fight through the hard times. Thank you for the people in my life, those I love and those I learn from. Thank you for it all. Thank you. Thank you. It's the key that opens the door to instant happiness, unlocks the door to everything we are really seeking in life, happiness and contentment. Think about it. No matter what you say you want, money, riches, health, to help others, why do you really want it? When you drill deep down, the only reason anyone wants anything is the feeling we believe we will get from having it. That all boils down to happiness and contentment. And the truth is, we can have it now if we are grateful. And if you get quiet, get away from the noise of the world, and think for a moment about what you could be grateful for, I'm sure you could find plenty. Be grateful there's food on the table, air in your lungs, life in your body. Get grateful that you have opportunity. Opportunity to take your life to a whole nother level. To decide right now that you are going to live your dreams and never settle until you do. Get grateful for the mental strength you've been given to survive the hard times. Get grateful for your limbs if you have them. Many are not so blessed. Your eyesight if you have it. Many are not so blessed. Your hearing if you have it. Many are not so blessed. The health you do have. Many are in worse positions. Get grateful for that one person that has had an impact in your life, or many people if you are so blessed. Then get grateful you can choose to be that person for someone else, that one that makes a difference in someone else's life, no matter how small. Get grateful you get to experience this magical universe. Today, look for miracles. I guarantee if you are looking, you will see them. There are unlimited things to be grateful for. Open your eyes. Unlock your amazing life. It's ready for you right now.
Thank you for this day, whatever it brings. Whether a challenge I need to grow, a lineup to teach me patience, an unexpected blessing, every moment of joy, whatever today brings, thank you. Whatever it brings, I pray I have enough presence in each moment to know that no circumstance is my life. No high or low, no event, no thing is my life. Life is energy, and I know I'm so much more than my physical body. Thank you for my ability to love, to give to others my authentic love and kindness without expecting.